Hey guys, welcome back to part 2 of the Kotlin tutorial. So now it's time to install IntelliJ IDEA. In this video we will install it on Windows, but I also made a second video where we install it on Mac, and I will put all videos of this Kotlin tutorial into a separate playlist, which you can find when you click on the little eye in the top right corner. By watching this playlist you can make sure that you don't miss any parts. And I also recommend that you watch this video even if you already have an IDE installed, because I will explain some terms along the way that are interesting to know. So we open our favorite web browser, go to google.com, we search for IntelliJ IDEA, and then we click on any of these jetbrains.com links. We want to get to the download page. Then we can choose between the ultimate version, which is paid but adds more features, or the community version, which is free, and this is the one we want to use, so we click download. And then we wait until it's finished downloading. And this software we are downloading here, IntelliJ IDEA, is a so-called IDE, which stands for Integrated Development Environment. And in simple terms, it's a program that combines different tools to help us write other programs. Theoretically, we could write our Kotlin code in any plain text editor, and then compile and run it from the command line. But an IDE makes this whole process easier. It has a very sophisticated text editor with stuff like syntax highlighting, real-time suggestions, and different keyboard shortcuts. It has a graphical user interface with a file explorer for our project files. We can compile and run our program with just a few clicks. And it has some additional tools like a debugger or version control. And here comes the catch. JetBrains, the makers of this IntelliJ IDE, are also the same guys who created the Kotlin language. And this has some interesting implications. First of all, of course, it means that IntelliJ IDEA has first-class support for the Kotlin language, because they both come from the same house. And also, JetBrains as a company is very experienced with Java, because first of all, IntelliJ IDEA is mainly a Java IDE, and it also contains millions of lines of Java code in its own source code. So this company really knows how Java works and what it lacks. So when it's finished downloading, we start this installer. So we click on next, next again. Here I'm gonna keep the default settings. Up here you can decide to create a desktop shortcut. This option here adds this open folder as project action to the right click menu. Here you can create file associations, so you can open them with a double click in IntelliJ IDEA. Then you have to check this down here if you have a 32-bit version of Windows. If you have 64-bit, you don't have to check this, only with 32. And with this option up here, we can do some stuff from the command line, but it's not interesting for us, and it can also be changed later if you ever realize that you need this. So we click next again and install. When it's done, we check this Run IntelliJ IDEA Community Edition, and then we click finish. If you already had a previous installation of IntelliJ IDEA, then you can import the settings here. Otherwise, we keep this Do Not Import Settings checked, and then we click OK. Then we have to accept the privacy policy. If you want to be safe, you can read it. Then we click on continue. Here you can decide if you want to send anonymous usage statistics. I think it's helpful for the developers, so I click on send usage statistics, but you don't have to. And this is the most exciting part of this whole tutorial. Here you can choose your IDE theme. Most people use the dark theme because it makes them feel like a hacker. For the tutorial, it's better if I use light. You can pick whatever you want, and then we click on next. Here we can keep everything as it is, those are just default plugins. Then we click next again. We can keep this as it is as well, and then we click on start using IntelliJ IDEA. And then we click on create new project. On the left we select Kotlin. And then we keep Kotlin JVM selected. JVM stands for Java Virtual Machine. As I explained in the introduction video, Kotlin can compile to Java bytecode, and this is also the most common way of using Kotlin at the moment. This way we have full interoperability with Java, our code can run anywhere Java runs, and we can use the existing Java tools and libraries. And this Java bytecode we create runs on this Java Virtual Machine, because it translates this bytecode into machine code. At some point, of course, our code has to be turned into instructions the computer can understand, because the computer doesn't understand our high-level programming language like Kotlin, because it's meant to be human-readable. The problem is different processors and operating systems need a different set of instructions. And the JVM basically works as a translator that turns our bytecode into something each particular platform can understand. This way we can run the same Java bytecode on different operating systems and CPUs without having to recompile or rewrite it. And the JVM also takes care of memory management for us. As the name Java Virtual Machine implies, it was originally created to run Java code, but since then other JVM languages have evolved, like for example Scala or Groovy, and now also Kotlin. And as I mentioned in the introduction, Kotlin can also compile to a JavaScript or native code, but you don't have to understand all of this in detail right now. The only thing that matters is that we want to target Kotlin JVM, and then we click Next. Then we have to give our project a name. I'm gonna call it Kotlin Tutorial. The name generates this project location, and it's good convention to not put white spaces in here, because white spaces in the project location could cause problems later on. But if you want, you can also manually change this project location. This way of writing is, by the way, called Pascal case, where there are no white spaces, but each new word starts with a capital letter. And here we have to point IntelliJ IDEA to a JDK. JDK stands for Java Development Kit. SDK stands for Software Development Kit. So the JDK is basically the Java SDK. And this JDK contains the tools that we need to create Java programs or Kotlin programs that run on the JVM. Because first of all, this JDK contains a JVM, so we can actually run the code that we are writing. It contains the Java standard libraries that add a lot of basic functionality that we can use. And it also contains a Java compiler and some other tools. If you don't have a JDK installed yet, then you have to download one. Android Studio users do not have to do this because it already comes with an embedded JDK. However, we need one for IntelliJ IDEA. And when we click this download button, it brings us to oracle.com. This is basically the official source for the JDK. And in the past it was very simple, we would just click download, load the JDK from here and then be happy. But you will see this very prominent license update notice, which in a nutshell says that the Oracle JDK is not free anymore for production use. This shouldn't affect most of you because for personal use, it's still free as long as you don't use it commercially. But there is a better option we have. Instead of loading it from oracle.com, we can instead use a completely free JDK by another vendor. For this, we go to adopt.openjdk.net. And this is an open source community project, which provides free JDKs, which you can also use commercially in any way you want. And they have the same high quality as the Oracle JDKs because they do very extensive testing and they are also sponsored by large companies like IBM or GoDaddy. So this works just as well as Oracle's JDK and it's the better choice if you don't want to pay anything. Here we have to select the version. For Kotlin programming, it doesn't matter which one we pick. But it makes sense to use OpenJDK 11 because it's the latest version with long-term support, which means that it will get bug fixes and security patches for several more years to come without you having to switch to a newer version. And then we click on this blue button to download it. And then we start this installer. Here we click on Next. Again, we have to accept the license agreement. Next. Here we can keep the default settings. Actually, IntelliJ IDEA needs none of these options. We only need the JDK itself, which this installer will put into a folder on our system. And IntelliJ IDEA is already set up in a way that it doesn't need these extra settings. However, it doesn't hurt to keep it like this. The first option here will add some Java commands to the command line. The second one makes Javafiles double-clickable to run them with Java. And the other two options, which are unselected by default, are required by some third-party programs to find the JDK. It's not interesting for us, and you can also change this later if you need to, either by running this installer again or by doing it manually. But when you need the settings, you will know. So we can keep the default settings and click on Next. And on Install. And we click on Finish. And then we go back to our new project window, where we now click on New. And if you haven't changed the location of the Java installer, then the JDK should be under C, Program Files, Adopt OpenJDK, And then we select this folder here, which starts with JDK. We don't select anything in this folder, we select the JDK folder directly. And then we click on OK. And now we can see that we use the JDK for Java 11. We keep the rest as it is and click on Finish. Then we have to wait a short moment. And then we get our new project. Now, IntelliJ IDE is a quite big IDE with a lot of features, so if you have never used it before, it can seem a bit overwhelming, but there is no reason to learn all of these different settings at once. Just wait until you actually need them. You will also find a lot of instructions in Google, and I would recommend that you keep these daily tips activated, because they will give you some small bite-sized tips every new day that you use IntelliJ IDE. They are very useful, so we keep this selected and click on Close. And Android Studio is based on this IntelliJ IDE, so these two are very similar. So if you later decide to write Android apps, you will already feel comfortable in Android Studio. In the next video, we will then start writing code, so make sure to subscribe to not miss the upcoming parts. Take care.